So a busy third hour. If there's something that you want to say or need to say or have to say, you better say it right now. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So the reason I say that is because Chargers safety, Derwin James, is joining me next segment. Looking forward to getting caught up with him. Yogi Roth will be joining me at 40 past. 1-800-636-8686 is your number. Use it or lose it. So Robert Griffin III is back at it. If Robert Griffin III were coaching Robert Griffin III on his current broadcasting career and his social media game, I would imagine that old Bob Griffin would have a ton of calls or tweets omitted from this week's film study. You remember that great story? Because the last few days have not been so good for old Bob. In fact, they've been below good. Below not good, actually. Well, according to anybody but Bob himself. Let's go back to Saturday first. Old Bob was on the call of the Georgia-UAB game. Georgia star quarterback, JT Daniels, who used to ball out here, was on the shelf with a mild oblique injury. Stetson Bennett was starting in his place. Now, if you know anything at all about Georgia football,
Bennett,
regardless of what Bennett could do against the Blazers, he has 0.0 shot of taking Daniels' job right now. Right? Even if you know next to nothing about Georgia football, you probably know that. However, that did not stop RG3 from waxing philosophical about that situation after Bennett started the game on fire. And he droned on about how Kirby Smart might have a quarterback controversy on his hands with his number two ranked Bulldogs. I guess Bob was pretty impressed with what he saw Bennett do against the Blazers defense. And, of course, Georgia fan was coming for Bob over his thought process. As an example, Happy Hoyt tweeted, quote, RG3 just explained Georgia has a QB controversy. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. End of quote. Problem is, Bob does not do negative when Bob chooses not to. So I'm sure he didn't see Happy Hoyt's or several hundred other tweets that had a similar message. You know, stay focused on Bob. That's what Bob's about. Now, me personally, not that I agree with him about that situation. I saw Bennett last year, and we all know that they stuck with him too long. But Bob does have firsthand knowledge of exactly what a quarterback controversy looks like from the inside. So there is that. So maybe I'll just let that slide as a one-off. I mean, it seems like an utterly ridiculous thing to say or to suggest that there's an actual quarterback controversy at Georgia. But, again, Bob has been in actual quarterback controversies. I haven't. So I'm going to let that slide. I'll let that slide. And, you know, the truth is, he's gotten some pretty good reviews for his work in the booth. So let's keep moving. The problem is, Bob kept moving from the booth back to his favorite platform, social media, where, well, you know what he does there. And old Bob loved what he saw in Jacksonville with the way Jameis Winston showed up and balled out, throwing 5 TDs in the Saints' curb stomping of the Green Bay Packers. Bob loved it and was feeling it. And after the game, the man who used to think that he was as good as Aaron Rodgers sent this tweet out about famous beating A-Rod squad. Follow me on this. Quote, after beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Jameis Winston is now requesting strategy meetings with the Saints brass and demanding 5 crab legs, one for every touchdown he threw, be placed in his locker every day for consumption since he ate a W. My man, I don't know if you're trying to be an aspiring comic. I mean, I don't know, Bob. I never do. But, dude, a crab leg joke with an eat a W reference wrapped into a strategy meeting and locker? The hell is that? I'll tell you what, that's not funny or creative or clever. It's actually kind of corny. I haven't seen a joke miss that badly. I have not seen a joke land that badly since I had Lee Evans on this show.
You know, regardless, coming into a dark locker room, all that, is just something you had to deal with. I think we did a good job of that.
It was throwback. I thought they were going to put you guys, like, in leather helmets and have you play that thing out in the parking lot or something. Lee Evans joining me on the program. Hey, Lee, what about Miami?
Hey, Lee, thanks for picking me up on that.
I mean, I don't know. I'm the host. When I interview people and they tell bad jokes, I fake laugh. Way to pick me up on that, Lee. Anyway, a few rules for all you young would-be comics. One, be funny. Two, know your room. And three, freshen your material up. A 2014 crab leg joke is not fresh. But as always, Bob went Bob with it even more. You see, unlike me, and knowing my room and Lee, I knew when to let it go. I wasn't going to be like, hey, Lee, get it? Hey, Lee, the hell's the matter with you? Hey, get it, Lee? Like leather helmets back in the day. I didn't try to explain the joke. Problem is, Bob's always right. Bob's always right, and we are always wrong. Like the time he sat down with the lobster. Remember when Bob sat down with the lobster, his son, and that legendary offensive staff in Washington? And he instructed them not to speak and not to interrupt him while he was talking about what they needed to do. Remember that? He was telling that to the lobster and his kid. And this time he was doing it with his Twitter audience, telling them how wrong they were for not understanding and laughing at how funny his joke was. Check out some of these follow-up tweets. Quote, Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns in his debut for the Saints and can demand whatever he wants when he keeps playing like that. So now he's explaining the joke that wasn't funny. He went on, quote, can you see how Jameis proving the doubters wrong and playing lights out makes the fact that when he gets paid, he will be accused of stealing money that was earned and given to him, just like he was accused of stealing crab legs that were given to him because of his play at FSU. End of tweet. Dude, what the bleep? You're just making a bad joke so much worse. All right, so again, if you have to explain your joke, it's not a good joke. You're not funny. And now I think you're suggesting that Winston was unjustly accused of stealing crab legs at Florida State. Is that what you're saying now? Guess what?
Guess what?
Guess what? He was not going to stop because Bob doesn't. He was back at it again yesterday. Yesterday, when word was out that Ryan Fitzmagic had been placed on the IR by his former team, the Washington football team, Griff had a quick solution for the former franchise that he left in ashes back in the day. Solution being, sign me. Yes, he did. He went on Twitter with a video of him playing for the team back in the day and the gram with him and his Washington gamer and the message on both saying, quote, make the call. Make the call. My man, something tells me that they would bring the lobster back before they brought you back. I mean, I understand that time heals almost all wounds. I understand that if enough time goes away, you could convince yourself of anything. But you obviously forgot how terribly wrong that situation was, how badly that went. And I don't know how you can forget that. Because that was a situation where they had one of the most promising young stars in a generation, you, with the offensive brain power that has revolutionized the game today, coaching you. That's right. The lobster and his kid. And it turned into the biggest train wreck ever. Something that nobody could have ever fathomed. And frankly, it was mostly your fault, Bob, because of your unwillingness to change and improve. I mean, you and Dan Snyder and a few more enablers. But But damn, you think they want you back in the district? I mean, dude, there's going to be a 30 for 30 or some other documentary someday with people wondering how in the world did something that looked that promising, something that looked like that was golden. I mean, Lombardis, Yellow Jackets, the whole thing, how that could end so badly. But yeah, I'm sure they've forgotten all about that. And they're going to let you right back in the building, the same building that you tried to burn down. Can you imagine Ron Rivera and Bob hanging out? I don't know. I keep refreshing his social feeds to see what he's putting out today. My man, don't stop. You are on a heater of horrible content. But I know you. You're not seeing it that way. And I can't help but respect it. I mean, man, give me some more, please. I mean, no pressure, no diamonds, right?
No pressure, no diamonds.
No pressure, no diamonds, right?
No pressure, no diamonds.
Man, my man on Twitter trying to explain his bad joke. Like, y'all just don't get it. If it's always a case where you're the only one who gets it and we never get it, maybe it's you and not us. No pressure, no diamonds.
No pressure, no diamonds.
My man was on a heater of bad content.
Just corny.
Working hard with the crab leg references from 2014. How about my man Lee Evans picking me up, just hanging me out like that? And that in no way is doctored sound. That is like real sound. That was a real exchange between me and Lee Evans.
No, I mean, regardless.
I mean, Lee, maybe that wasn't the funniest line ever. Maybe that was not one of my finest moments ever. But again, there's like this thing, man. I don't understand what it is when people come on shows. You have the host, you have the guest. We kind of... It's kind of an understanding, right? Unless the host is a really bad guy or the guest is a really bad guy, we just kind of have this unspoken agreement that we'll just kind of play along and pick each other up. Like, if you crack a joke and I don't think it's funny, I'm not going to hang you out. I'll give you a fake laugh. Oh, hey, good one, dude. But no, Lee, you couldn't do that for me. And believe me, Lee, that's not the worst joke you've ever heard. It's not the best joke you've ever heard. But that old leather helmet crack, I've made worse attempts at humor. Come on, man. You gonna really do me like that, Lee?
No, regardless, coming into a dark locker room, all that, is just something you had to deal with. I think we did a good job of that.
It was throwback. I thought they were going to put you guys like in leather helmets and have you play that thing out in the parking lot or something. Lee Evans joining me on the program.
Yeah, that wasn't too awkward.
What about Miami?
And by the way, the joke was not... It was to pick you up. It wasn't to make you look bad. If I was doing it to make you look bad, that'd be another thing. If I was disrespecting you, that'd be another thing. You know, dude's just like looking at his watch, looking over at his PR flack, like, why am I doing this? I don't know, because it's the biggest talk show in the world.
Like, what am I here for?
Like, what am I here for? Like 800 radio stations. That's what you're here for. And 9 billion listeners, man. Pick me up, dude. Pick me up. I did my prep. I did my research. I'm a host that's listening to your responses and reacting and not just looking at a list of questions, man. Pick me up, dude. You did not have lights in your locker room. That's what I said. Why I said, like, throwback. Yeah, man. You're lucky you didn't go back to that dark locker room. Fire open your locker and see a leather helmet inside of it. Am I right? 1-1000, 2-1000, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi. Hey, Mr. DJ, man, are we done yet? Pretty much, I think. A great moment. So anyway, Bob, I understand. Not every joke lands. But notice the difference between you and me. I did not spend the next 3 days on this show explaining the leather helmet crack. I cut my losses short. I accepted that Lee didn't think it was funny, and I kept moving. You can't go back to Twitter the next day and keep it up, or even later that same day. Luckily, when we come back, good conversation. Derwin James is joining me. Eager to get caught up with him, and I will do so. When we return, Yogi Roth in the last segment today. It's good to see the teams back out on the gridiron. Lucky for us, that was just week one. DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL and putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of bucks in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up and using the code ROME. Get in on the action right now. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of bucks in total prizes. Enter the code ROME and get your free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code name ROME, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Got a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Chalk just said to me, like, I wonder how long that Lee Evans would have left you hanging there if you didn't jump back in. I'm like, how long? To this day. Like 10 years. Dude, I was so badly rattled. I didn't crack a joke on this show for like 10 weeks after that. All right. I've got more thoughts on that. However, I've got more important things to do, including this. I am joined right now by a two-time All-Pro. He is a Pro Bowler. He is a safety with the LA Chargers. He's coming off a huge game in that win at Washington. He had seven tackles. He had a pass breakup. He was an All-American. He was a two-time All-ACC here at Florida State. He was the 17th pick overall in 2018, and there is a big game coming up. Big game coming up Sunday here in Los Angeles. The Cowboys are at the Chargers. That is a CBS game. Derwin James is my guest. Derwin, great to have you back. How are you?
Man, how you doing, man? I'm doing good, man.
Good, dude. Good. Good to have you. So take me back to Sunday, if you don't mind. That 20-16 win over Washington in their place. I mean, we are talking about a team that in the past 2 years has lost 16 one-score games. I know you know this. How much pride was there for you and the rest of the team in winning on the road in a tight game against a divisional champion?
It was amazing because, you know, our whole mindset was, you know, we wanted to come in and get to 1-0 no matter what it took. And, you know, we wanted to come out and be a team. So, you know, whether it was offense, defense, or special teams, everybody wanted to come in together and, you know, get the W. And we got that done.
I like that. Speaking of the offense, Keenan Allen said after the game, quote, "I know what it is to lay on the other side of the blanket. This is definitely the cooler side, and we like this side more." And to quote, so let me ask you, I know it's only one game, but does it feel like a culture change in terms of we are a fourth quarter team now? We are the kind of team that can close out games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We definitely want to have that mindset. We want to be at our best in the fourth. And, you know, Coach Staley does a great job of, you know, that's when we're going to need be at our best. You know what I mean? You can play 60 good plays, but if you get beat on the 63rd play, then, you know, it don't matter. So, you know, we want to really focus on finishing games, and that was a great example of finishing.
Charger safety, Derwin James is my guest. So you earned a game ball with that performance. When you consider all the work that you put in to get back to where you are right now, what did that game ball represent to you?
It means a lot, man. I gave it to my son. First of all, I just got a new son, and I got that ball for him because, you know, just going through everything I've been through over the past couple of years and, you know, finally to get back out there, and it just felt good to be playing again. And nothing greater than, you know, being appreciated by your teammates and by your peers. So, you know, that was big.
I got to ask you, man, you mentioned that you gave the ball to your son. Like, you've been a player and a dominant personality and a guy who leads from the front. All these things, right? All these things. What's fatherhood been like?
Man, it's been cool, man. It's definitely life-changing for me, man, because, you know, I used to always hear people say, oh, man, it's going to change. But when you're actually going through it, man, it's really like, it's nothing like it, no better feeling. And, you know, just having that person that looks up to you.
Like I said, man, I don't want to go and I'm not looking to be funny here. Last thing, I don't want to get rattled by making a bad joke, but the fact of the matter is there's no playbook for that, right? I don't care what they tell you
or
what you think.
Off script.
Am I right? There is no playbook for that.
Yeah, there's definitely no playbook. Everything off script. You know, it goes off how he's feeling, how his mood is, you know, it's when he wants it. So, you know, I got used to that real fast.
That's how it's done. Thanks for picking me up, man. Thanks for agreeing with me. That made me feel good. Doing James
nah,
joining
it's the
us.
Truth, man. It's the truth.
Listen, man, as everybody knows, you did miss last season with that torn meniscus. You said, quote, a lot of times guys get injured and they just try to come back and try to be healthy. I'm not coming back for that. I'm coming back to be dominant, to be the same person that I was before. And that's kind of the mindset that I look at. I'm curious, like, where did that mindset come from? Because I think you're right. A lot of guys just want to get back and get back on the field, but that's not good enough for you. Where did that mindset come from?
I think it come from my parents. You know, they did a great job raising me. You know, they always told me, man, you're going to go through battles. You're going to go through hardships. You know, it's how you come back from it. You know, everybody's good when things are going good. But, you know, you really see how a person is when adversity hits and when you're going through something. So, you know, just going through everything I've been through and, you know, battling back, you know, I'm just thankful. You know, and I'm blessed, man, to be out there.
You know, it seems to me like you go through something like that, it could take an enormous mental toll on you. But guys around you, like Linval Joseph, rave about your leadership, rave about your positivity. I mean, were there dark days, or were you able to be positive every single day while going through these hard times?
The darkest day was the first day of it happening. That was the darkest day for me. And once that moment passed, I woke up the next day, you know, I was on that mindset of what's next. You know, how can I get better? And how I'm going to get back out there and help my teammates win. So, you know, I just stayed with that mindset. And when I got back out there, you know, I just keep having fun with it, man. That's what makes it that much funner.
You know, you mentioned your new coach, Brandon Staley, and he said something pretty amazing about you. Quote, I haven't been around too many guys like that, regardless of the position. Normally it's quarterbacks. Derwin is one of the few defensive players that I'm aware of in the league that can carry that mantle, end of quote. I mean, that's really an amazing thing for a coach to say about a player, especially a defensive player. So when it comes to leadership and being the face of the team, how do you approach that?
You know, I'm humbled by, you know, I'm humbled every day. You know, I'm thankful for it every day. And, you know, I just want to, you know, continue to get better, man, because I, like I said, I'm not just all perfect and all that, but I just want to keep being a leader, man, keep being getting better every day. And, like I said, bringing that energy that guys feed off and that guys want to be around and coaches want to coach and be that player that they want to coach. So, you know, that's what I'm focused on, man.
Listen, I understand that. I understand the humility. But then you got a guy like Chris Harris Jr. This guy's played the game a long, long time at a really high level. There's nothing that he has not seen. I've talked to him for years. He was talking to Jim Trotter, and he said, quote, I've played with a lot of great people in the secondary. Hall of Famers like Champ and Doc. But it's hard to say anybody is like this kid, the way he loves the game, the way he competes every day. I mean, Derwin, you'll tell me that you're trying to be as humble as you possibly can, but you got a guy like Chris Harris comparing you to Brian Dawkins and Champ Bailey. I mean, that's crazy high praise. What do you think when you hear that?
Man, I'm just, man, to be even in the same conversation as those guys, you know, like I say, man, I'm thankful, man, because, you know, I know the work I put in, you know, my teammates and everybody that, around the building, they see the work and how hard and what it means to me. So, you know, I like to be the same person I am every day, if not better. But so I like to just keep bringing that energy, man. And guys are, you know, taking notice of it. And, you know, it's big coming from guys like Chris Harris and Linval Joseph that's, you know, won Super Bowls and played in this league a long time. So, you know, hearing the stuff that they're saying about me and my coaches, man, you know, I'm really just thankful for it.
Especially those two dudes, man. Champ Bailey, right? I mean, like,
Bailey. Yeah, those all-time Hall of Fame with Gold Jacket guys, man. Brian Dawkins and Champ Bailey, those are definitely one of the greats, man.
There's uncommon, and then there's uncommon amongst the uncommon. Those two dudes were uncommon amongst the uncommon. And then you get the Cowboys on Sunday, and after starting out 1-0, how big of a statement are you looking as a team to make against Dallas with the entire country watching?
We got to just come out and be ready. We're at home. This is the first game at home. I know the fans are going to be excited. I know, you know, we got to come out and be ready. We're playing against one of the powerful offenses in the league, and we just got to be ready for the run or the pass, man, whatever they come out and do.
You know, and finally, you broke up momentarily, but, like, what's it mean to you to be out there in front of the fans once again?
Oh, man, I'm excited by that, man. I can't wait. First game in SoFi for me, and I'm going to be excited, man. I know I'm going to be eager to play, man, and I can't wait.
Dude, what's it going to feel like to hit the field in that stadium? And what's it like when you look at that stadium? How's that feel to you?
Man, it feels amazing. You know, just playing in there in the scrimmage that we had early in training camp, man, it was fun. And, you know, I know once this thing is rolling for real and we're really out there playing when it counts, I know the fans are going to be that much louder and they're going to be that more supportive. So, you know, we want to come out and make it special for him.
Two-time All-Pro, Pro Bowler, new dad, 17th pick overall, Derwin James Jr., my guest. Derwin, great to have you back. I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming on this show. Great talking to you.
All right, thank you, man.
Take care. Be good. Such a stud, this guy. When you have somebody like Chris Harris comparing you to Champ Bailey and Brian Dawkins, that is incredible. Incredible praise. And like I said, man, it felt good that he picked me up and kind of went along with my, not a joke, but my analogy. So going back to Lee Evans for a minute, not to pound away at this, but so Chalk says to me, like, dude, if you didn't jump back in there, how long do you think he would have hung you out the way he did? I said, to this very second, like a decade later. And Alvin's so funny. Alvin, and they're having a great time on the other side of the glass with this one. Alvin goes, dude, don't you remember how rattled you were? You didn't make a joke for like months. Like you were afraid to make jokes. I'm like, do you blame me? I'm like, when did the streak snap? You said, dude, you know, don't you remember? Greg Jennings came on the program and you did a joke with him and it worked, remember? I'm like, no, Alvin, remind me.
You know, the good thing is that was last year. This is this year. You're beyond that. So are you guys going to bring in Michael Vick or what? Yeah, Greg, do you put any credence in that at all? How relieved was I, man? How relieved was I? Because, by the way, that was probably pretty high stakes at that time, me going with a Mike Vick joke.
In fact, I got to give myself some credit. That was a big swing. That was pretty courageous. After the way Lee Evans knocked me down to size. Breaking out a Mike Vick joke? Wow. Derwin James, though, understood. Man, there ain't no playbook for that kid bringing a kid home. We all know that. Of course, who's not going to agree with that besides Lee Evans? We all know that. You don't need to be an All-Pro to know that. We've all brought a... Anybody who's brought a kid home knows there is no playbook for that. Man, I don't care how many books you've read. I don't care how many classes you've taken. We all know that. We all come home like, what do we do now? Now what? You're not running any playbook for that. My man Derwin James picking me up. When we come back, Yogi Roth will be joining us. You want to make sure you don't miss that. That's always a great conversation. Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 10 Pro. Enjoy specials on Dell docks, monitors, and servers. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. So call 877-ASK-DELL and speak with a Dell Technologies advisor. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Here is your sports update. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Good day. Really solid day here in the jungle. One last segment. We are live in Southern California, and I am joined right now by the preeminent Pac-12 football analyst. He is a filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is co-host and EP of All American Stories. He is host of The It Factory, Pac-12 Football with Yogi Roth. Very good friend of the program. He is Yogi Roth. Yogi, how are you doing today, and how great is ball?
I love coming on your show, man. What a wild time we are in college football right now, obviously with SC and everything, and just the news of the season, teams playing well, not playing well. So it's fun, man. So yeah, to me, ball is still beautiful. I'm still loving it.
Ball is beautiful. It's always great to have you on this show, and you're right, Yogi, it's a wild, wild time. Let me get your thoughts then. What was your reaction when you saw the announcement from USC that they were firing Clay Helton?
I was surprised at the timing. I think everybody who covers the sport, you know, we knew that, you know, SC is a preeminent job, and we knew that they hadn't been to the playoff, and Clay Helton's always kind of on the pseudo hot seat. I would have never thought it would have been done as early in the season as it was. So surprised, you know, as I saw that email come in, and, you know, it didn't leak. It was done very swiftly and quickly in their facility, you know, when they told Clay and then their interim head coach, Dante Williams, you know, it was all within about 30, 45-minute period. So it happened fast. I think overall, when I sit back and look at it, Clay Helton in my 21 years now in major college football was as good to me and our TV crews as anybody I've been around. I mean, no one would ever argue the type of man that he is if you spent time with him. Absolute class. I think when you look at why the decision was made, ultimately for Mike Bone, when they came in, remember, he came in new 2 years ago and was trying to figure out, hey, do I want to stay with Clay? And he looked at the resources and the reality of the expectation, which is to get to the playoff, and then the reality of the staff. And he saw, wow, well, we're understaffed. So they bumped the staff from low 30s to mid 40s to compete with Bama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson in recruiting personnel, staff, in graphics, all of the stuff that everybody else has now. And they netted out after the first two games of this season that the resources they afforded to Clay and the football program did not meet the trajectory of what they saw on the field in the first 2 weeks.
We're talking to Yogi Roth. You laid that out pretty well. Yogi, you were at USC with Pete Carroll when the program was running off top four seasons year in and year out. So how would you describe the state of that program now versus the Pete Carroll era that you were a part of?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jim. I think a lot of times when we've seen coaches get fired mid-season, it's because the program's in disarray. Players quit. There's inner strife in a locker room. None of that's going on at SC. It's a really healthy environment. I went and spoke in their locker room to their team 2 weeks ago before the season got going, doing some media training with these guys. And they're as connected as there is regarding a program and around the country. So there's not issues like you'd imagine. I think when you comp it to the era that you referenced, there's so much to that. One, like, it was a totally different era, right? You know, Matt and Reggie were rock stars, but nobody was in their DMs every day. Right, they weren't trying to build up a brand and had even a thought around that regarding where we are now with NIL and players signing at USC because they want to build their brand in Hollywood, which they should. Right, that's the environment we're in. I think the biggest thing is that when I go out to practice, and I don't think anybody in my experience in college football, I've never seen Alabama practice or some of the blue bloods as I referenced earlier, but our practices were absolutely insane in terms of how competitive they were. You know, every rep, every drill, your position was on the line. I'll still never forget every signing day at USC. Pete would show the highlights of the incoming 25 student athletes and say, hey, I told them the same thing I told you. They're going to run with the ones day one and have every chance to take your job. Right. So the competitive cauldron that was created was unlike anything I've ever seen. And again, maybe Bama's like that, but I've never seen a culture like that. And I think it can get back to that. I know they tried. I think the further we get away from Pete, we recognize how unique he was. I mean, since 1980, Jim, there's been, outside of Pete, there's been five seasons at USC football with double-digit wins, and Clay had two of them, right? So I think there's an expectation that's, you know, a little intense, you know, when you look at the USC fan, but they've met that intensity, they've met that reality, so that's the standard. And they didn't think Clay Helton was meeting that standard in terms of competing for championships where, you know, Pete Carroll was top four finisher, I think, seven straight years at USC.
Yogi Roth is joining us. So, Yogi, when you talk about whether or not there's a possibility of getting back to the way things were, the first guy who gets a shot is the guy you mentioned, Dante Williams. He's the interim head coach. What expectations do you have for USC for the rest of this season? And could you see him getting a legitimate look at the permanent job?
Well, I think for the expectation, Jim, it's they can go to play in the Rose Bowl. I mean, this team has the talent to win. I mean, everybody in the media who was calling for Clay's job also voted USC to win the Pac-12 South for the most part. You know, so they have the talent and the ability to go play well. And I think for Mike Bone and company, my interpretation of why they made the move now was not only just what I said earlier, but also this was going to be a thing. Right, Clay was going to get asked about his job every week. Players were going to get asked about this every week. So I'm sure they thought about that and said, you know what, let's just let these guys go play. And I think now you eliminate that as a distraction. Like, to me, I circled the bye week. Like, would that have been a thing after they played Utah prior to Notre Dame if USC wasn't undefeated and top five in the top 10 in the country competing for a playoff spot? It might have been a thing then. So they made the decision now. And now for Dante Williams, I've known Dante since – you know, he began coaching, right? I remember when he was at Washington as a graduate assistant. He's not just an elite recruiter, man. He's a hell of a football coach. He's going to have this team prepared and ready. And this team knows that they've got an extremely high ceiling. So I think the standard for them is to go win the Pac-12 South. And I think that should be the standard. I mean, that should almost be the floor for this team. Regarding him and having a chance to get this job, I don't know. I mean, seasons take on lives of their own. We know that. We've seen that happen before. I think there's a lot of pressure to hire someone who's done it and been there before as a head coach at a big place. And I think that there's going to be a ton of interest from people in that regard.
We're talking to Yogi Roth. What about, for instance, Yogi in that term or in that regard? Mario Cristobal, his name has come up as a possible candidate for the USC job. What is your reaction when you hear that? And could you see him leaving Oregon for USC?
Yeah, man. I mean, classic, right? Like, if they lose to Ohio State and this still happens at SC, is his name mentioned in that regard? I don't know. You know, I mean, it was such an impressive job to me what he did over the weekend with, you know, multiple starters out, including the best player arguably in the country. He had his team ready. To me, he should, you know, crown Coach of the Year just based on doing that on the road. And to me, it was the biggest win the Pac-12 has had since it became the Pac-12 in non-conference play. And you could argue it's in, you know, up in the scale of one of the greatest wins in the history of this league. You know, they went and beat a team that was in the national championship game a year ago and handled them on the offensive front at the line of scrimmage. So am I surprised his name's in it? No. But we know what this game is, man. I mean, anybody, you could be an average football fan and you can name the names that are being thrown out right now for this job, right? Bob Stoops, Chris Peterson, Mario Cristobal. You can go up and down the list. Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, Brent Brennan. And all names that should be thrown out for it, because I think this job is one of their premieres. But I also believe Oregon is. When you look at the resources they have, how he's built this thing, you know that you don't just build it overnight because of a logo. It takes a long time to build a culture. It doesn't just flip. And he's built it. So I know he loves it there. I'm sure he's being asked about it at his press conference today after practice. But I can't imagine it. And I do think even for Oregon in recruiting, the fact that his name is being mentioned for it is probably a good thing for them, saying, hey, you know, everybody wants our head coach and he wants to be here. So I don't anticipate him taking that job. I think he's got one of the better jobs in the country right now. But I do think that coaches that are currently head coaches in college and the NFL, I am sure have had their representatives reach out to Mike Bowen and company. Because this is, I think, a top five job in all of football. And if they're going to give the head coach the control, which I think they'll give them and I think is necessary to go win championships and do it the way that you think that you can, I think it's going to be a very attractive job.
Talking to Yogi Roth for a few more moments. I agree with everything you just said. Now, I mentioned off the very top, Yogi, you are now hosting the It Factory, Pac-12 football with Yogi Roth. It debuted last Monday night on the Pac-12 Network. What is the show all about?
Yeah, thanks for asking, man. You'll love this show. You will absolutely love it. You know, when we watch football, we talk all about the playmaking styles of Kayvon Thibodeau, for instance, or Jaden Daniels, or you know, Spencer Rattler, name the player who's a baller in college football, but very rarely do we take their armor off, take their helmet off, get to know what makes them tick, you know, what their it factor is. And for me, the it factor is the most overused and undefinable phrase in all of sports. And I actually did a film on this phrase a couple years ago, and what I netted out is I think the it factor is when, you know, someone walks into a room and they feel your presence and you make all of them a make all of them a little bit better. Like you have a multiplier effect to yourself. And that's what this show is. It's taking the best players in this league and the best players who have played in this league as alums, say, let's dive into your story, where you came from, what you're about. What is your effect? What is the thing that really drove you to dramatic success? And episode one, we had Keaton Slovis. Episode two is Kayvon Thibodeau that came out last night. We've got Britton Covey, Thomas Booker, everybody that's going to get drafted. Trent McDuffie I'm interviewing later this week at Washington. We're going to get them on the show, and then we're going to tap into the alumni base. And for me, it's just an extension of what I've always been doing for 5+ years on my former podcast. It's the same thing. Right? It's the same RSS feed. We just changed the title, and we added a little bit of a tighter focus.
I like it. Dude, I got to say, you look like $1 million. You have to hit me with this on the way out the door. What is your approach, Yogi, when it comes to diet and exercise and health and nutrition?
Yeah, I take it seriously. I grew up a vegetarian, so I think there's that element to me. You live in SoCal, you know the deal, bro. You got to work out. I love being outdoors, and I got two young kids, you know, so I try to get my rest, and I try to really take care of my body. My wife and I at the priority list of, hey, let's make sure that we're not getting burnt down. I think now even with COVID and going to games and being around players and fans, it's really important to me to get through a season. I owe it to my crew that I get to work with and Ted Robinson, my partner every week of like, I got to be at my best physically and mentally. So that's really what it comes down to. I really pay attention to what I put in my body, man. And yeah, that's really it. You know, love the beach and love everything that SoCal can afford you to do.
Yeah, I love all that, and especially that part about, I mean, even now that you no longer play the game, it's the same approach in the sense that availability is still your best ability. You got to be there. There are people counting on you. You got to make good choices. You got to rest. You got to recover. You got to bounce back, and you look the part. He is a filmmaker. He is a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is a very good friend of this program. He is Yogi Roth. Yogi, that's how you close the show, man. Thank you so much. Great job.
Yeah, man. Bring me back on in a couple of weeks. We'll talk Oregon and UCLA. I got a feeling about these two teams. It'd be pretty fun to watch them compete.
You've been hyping both them up. You're right. Yogi, great job. Thank you so much. Yogi has been on UCLA. Before UCLA hit the field, he was saying, man, I like these guys. I like them a lot this year. That is Yogi Roth. Extremely productive individual. I have a lot of respect for Yogi. And I consider him a very good friend of the program. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff. You know, over 250 local branches. You want to call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Good solid day today. Now, the third hour, we were not on TV, which prompted a few tweets and emails from you. But we are out of time. Sorry about that. No, this guy. If there's such a thing as jungle Tourette's, then Lee Evans proved there's also such a thing as jungle narcolepsy. Hey, man, I got to own it. Just was not that good of a joke, apparently. Either that or Lee hung me out. I rolled with that. I owned it. I wore it. I didn't come back with, hey, yo, man, who are you, Andre Reed? No, I wore it. That'll happen. My thanks to Yogi Roth, Derwin James.
Happens to us all.
Jeremy Chin, the XR4 TI. You have yourselves an amazing day, and I'll see you tomorrow. We're out.